B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Turn down that highway, turn up that dirt road. Let's over 3 days since I left Houston. Oh, black's my drugs, man. She's
got a real country feel to it today, Artie. Not gonna lie.
You know what?
Two of them.
He's got that weird, like, trucker rock slash country blues feel, and Artie's got that sort of ear for it.
That's good stuff. I mean, Hank the Third and Lyle Lovett. Those are the only two so far in the birthday playlist. We've had Beastie Boys, Prince, Baruch Assault, Stevie Wonder. Trying to mix it up.
What's my birthday? December.
When's my birthday? Oh, man. So you didn't read the Peter King column, did you?
Yes, I think. Yeah, it was in Slack today.
Yeah, did you read it?
Yeah.
Damn. So
why?
You didn't read it.
Well, I forget some stuff. I mean, if I didn't think it was important, I'd have forgotten it already.
If you were going to do the NFL draft, if you're in charge of it, right? Scott Zolak is put in charge of the NFL draft, which is taking place on the 23rd it starts. Is that the right date?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Jim, do I have the right date?
April 23rd, yes.
Okay, April 23rd. There's obviously a crisis that has hit the nation. Yesterday, we heard from our federal officials and the president that we will be extending the stay-at-home advisory and the social distancing advisories through the end of April, right? We just heard that news yesterday. How would Scott Zolak design the NFL draft to be held, which will go on as planned, as of now? I'm going to keep saying that. As of now, they're planning to do it on that 24th. What would you do?
I'll do it as we do this show right now. You know, there's four of us in, three of us in three different locations. They were able to come together for a four-hour show and do a triple screen up there. NBC Sports Boston's done a nice job with it. Each team has their own IT tech staff, right? That is, and those IT people, like our IT people and engineers, are deemed as essential, which means they're in the building with these teams. Your team would be quarantined to your own, not quarantined, yeah, pretty much quarantined to your own team's facility. I would put the head coach in one room, the GM in another room, the owner in the other room. And there's one guy in the middle that's manning the board the same way as a TV producer would. You got all three guys up. Everybody could communicate. There's one phone there in the middle. And the guy that handles the coach makes the call to the draft pick. Someone calls New York, and you're off and running. And I think you do it. I wouldn't do it in Vegas. I wouldn't have them based in Vegas in some room. I keep everything central at New York headquarters or the commissioner's office.
No, I don't think there's any Vegas element planned at all.
Yeah, but we don't know for factual what it's exactly going to be. You know.
All right, who announces the pick?
Who announces the pick? The head coach. The head coach, because you can't say the owner, because you got a team like Green Bay that has really no owner. Head coach, make the pick.
Here's what I would do.
See, but then that's like, okay, now I'm going to put a freaking TV on me. We're stressed here. We're trying to get deals done. See, that's tough. Maybe the GM makes the pick.
And here's what it says, Peter King, for what is this thing called now? It's NBC Sports driven, but what is it?
It's Football Morning in America.
Football Morning in America. I'm just going to call, say, MMQB.
FMIA.
Say Peter King.
Yeah. FMIA. Peter King, NBC. He says, the other day I was told that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell could kick off the 2020 NFL draft in 24 days from a remote-controlled camera in his home in Bronxville, New York, 15 miles north of NFL headquarters in Manhattan. But a source with knowledge of the draft logistics discussions told me that would be a worst-case scenario. Peter King writes, sounds like a best-case scenario to me. Rich Eisen, the NFL Network draft host, agreed. He said, quote, what better way to communicate the necessity to stay inside and stop the spread of the coronavirus than the commissioner of the NFL announcing the picks alone from his house in New York, Eisen told me. Okay, in theory, that is right. I do want the commissioner at his house. But are we completely willing to say that that is somehow good, that he's going to sit there by himself in the room and announce the picks? Guess what? This is an opportunity. That's what this is. This is an opportunity for the NFL to do something that they've never done before and may never do again. So I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of people have been on video chat platforms over the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, and I've heard Zoom's the big one, right?
Yeah, right. Whether it be Zoom or it's Google Hangouts or it's Skype like we're using or a house party, whatever it might be. A lot of people are finding ways to connect with their friends and their family and their coworkers through video chat services, Zoom being the one that I think could be perfect for this. So, now, obviously, they'll have to probably figure out a way to do it without Zoom because, you know, they're not a league client, and Microsoft being what Microsoft is, they'll have to do it through Skype, but work with me. Okay. They should set up a video setup where every team is on the screen. Every war room can be seen on one screen where you see all those little boxes that fill up the entire screen.
With the helmet of each team in there so each fan base can feel gravitation to their own guy. Yeah, and excitement. Boy, could you imagine being the top three pick in the league and your team's up and you get the commissioner announcing it with no helmet there, with no backdrop, just the NFL logo? Nah, you want excitement. You want to draw your fan base into this. I love the fact that maybe you could sit at home on a big screen TV and have all these split screens all in front of you. That'd be awesome.
Okay, so what they should do is put all the screens up there, and you could see that from time to time where they show all the different war rooms, and now they've got the live look into all of them. And then when it's time for the picks, the commissioner and the league either find out at the same time, or if they really want to do it ahead of time, you know, they send the pick in like they typically have by calling it in, phoning it in. And then someone from the team, a representative of the team, gets to get in front of that camera somehow and let it be known. I think the best way to do it is let the team themselves make the pick live. And their notification to the league is them on the video chat saying, yep, we take player number
tap in.
Defensive tackle out of, you know, Nebraska. And they announce the pick by they're informing the league who their pick is, and then we all find out at the same time. You know, and that would also make it a better TV event because Twitter probably wouldn't be able to get that far ahead of it.
Yeah, you eliminate all the people trying to trump each other. Now, some of the best audio that we have fun with all the time is the Irsay audio where, hey, Quentin, man, you fired up to be a Colt, man. You know, live stream, the actual phone call of when they pick the phone up. Hey, John, it's Coach Belichick. Yeah, we're going to make you a New England Patriot. That's where you how you find out. But you tell these teams and coaches ahead of time, we're going to keep it to about a half a minute. We're going to take your first 20 seconds live just to make sure that you know, don't say anything crazy in those first 20 seconds. Just welcome the kid in. Tell him you're going to draft him. Look forward to working with you. And then, boom, we will move on to the next one. Cue all the audio and all the videos that you got up and ready to go on that certain player. Would that be something, though, and that's how you find out? And you wouldn't need Twitter. I would put my phone down for the night.
Here's another question. Will the war rooms happen?
That's a good question. That's a great question.
Thank you.
Maybe part of this order to stay away from the facilities, and maybe they're getting other internal memos that we're not getting, where maybe the three people making the biggest decisions are in self-quarantine. You're self-quarantining yourself. Because in 2 weeks, we're going to go up and put you three in the same room together because you'll be clear, right? Marcus Smart beat it. Get him. He's good to go now.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on the NFL draft? Logistically, how should the NFL draft look if they're going to go through with it in a little more than 3 weeks? We have that on the table. Also, updates on the other leagues, including the NBA. You just mentioned Marcus Smart. The latest on all of that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 1 7 7 7 9 0 98 5, the telephone number for you. Open phone lines for you on this Monday.
A lot of pain Hardy's in Harley's songs. A lot of pain. There's a lot of pain in your songs.
Okay, we'll do a happy one next, okay?
Hardy is in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Zoe and I broadcasting from home.
We're all doing
our very best to socially distance in these times. You know, we're not alone on this front anymore, Zoe, from the broadcasting at home perspective.
Right.
A lot of news people at home, too, I've noticed. I don't know if you've seen that in recent days.
Yeah, I think one of the late shows is going to home tonight. I forget which one.
Conan. I saw Conan's broadcasting from home.
That's right.
A couple of things. One, Marcus Smart is corona-free, according to his update. And any reaction to that, Zoe?
I've had several already. Like okay, we get it. He self-isolated. He got past the illness. So he's good now, right? He's the one that's proved that he could go out. Can you get it again? Well, once you have it, you have it. It's a good question, huh? What does Marcus Smart do now? Like, okay, you beat it. You're good.
Well,
it's an excellent question. Like, will there be a community?
Nobody tells you.
Of people who had it, are cured of it, are presumably past the shedding stage,
yes.
Which is the stage where, okay, you're not sick anymore, but you could still conceivably give it to someone else. And then do those people get to go off and, you know, maybe start their own society elsewhere?
Right.
Start to
like the way it's written, it's like, congratulations, he's beat it. He's cured.
Yeah. Like Marcus Smart and other people who have, you know, had it, cured of it. Not contagious anymore. Can they go out? Can they get it again?
Hey, if I'm not going to practice, can I get on a plane and go to Florida and go to the beach? It's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple of isolated cases from what I've read where people have been infected a second time. Yet you hear from many scientists and doctors who say they do not believe you can get it a second time.
That's what I've read.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? That, you know what I mean? But do you, I know you can't get it, but can you still carry it? Say somebody has it that touches you. Oh, I'm not getting it, but I have the virus on my hands because I'm no longer washing it. They told me I can't get it again, did my medical team. I don't know. We need to know this. I know this is new, right?
I think it's pretty new, and I think that that's probably the least of the concerns right now, but I'm sure they're trying to figure that portion of it out.
No, but there are a bunch of numbers that are people that have, okay, had the virus, and they have recovered.
Right. So there were 147 people.
Yeah.
There were 147 people that got sent home from one hospital in China, and five of the 147 people all these people were tested and were negative. And so of those 147 people, five people then retested for it and were positive again. But they're saying that it could have been an error in the testing, and that's why it led to this, that there was a, you know, 3% error rate in administering the tests, and that these people never really had gotten rid of it, that they had one bad test, and that would explain it. So I think the overwhelming feeling is that once you get it and you recover and you are testing negative, that you're not going to get it again. But who knows? So the NBA is considering having players who have either, in this case with Marcus Smart, had it, or players who are consistently testing negative and have no symptoms, they're considering maybe playing in a bubble.
Ooh, so, okay, so this is going to be like an all-star draft. Like, for, we're going to take the good people, the non-sick people, and we're going to – I know what you're saying. I know where you're going with this. I just think you don't play it. You don't. And you either play them all or don't.
Brian Windhorst has some of the details on this. Brian Windhorst, of course, of ESPN.
We don't have a lot of answers right now, but what we do have is the Chinese. The Chinese are ahead of this, ahead of us on this, and their basketball league is comparable to the NBA. And that, I mean, they've got 20 different teams spread all through the country, and they've got an issue of keeping their players healthy. And what they are trying to do is what I think the NBA is going to have to do, which is to cluster their teams into two different cities and essentially build a bubble and put their teams in that bubble and have them live, eat, breathe, train everything basketball in that bubble. And it's a problem to sell this to the players. The difference between the NBA and the Chinese Basketball Association is there's no players association. They can just dictate it to the Chinese players. There's a bunch of hurdles here, but I think this is the reality the NBA is going to have to face. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe in June or July, but I think the NBA is going to have to build itself a bubble like the Chinese are attempting to do right now.
Hardy's right. They're forming a secret society. And you're going to say goodbye to your family. You're never going to see him again.
Right.
Do you think the players are going to go for this?
Hell no.
No shot.
No shot.
I think this is something that people need to reconsider about all of this. That even though they, in most cases, I think almost all cases in the NBA, everyone's making millions of dollars, and they're professional athletes, as human beings, they're not going to want to go do this. They're going to be completely unmotivated.
What are you going to hamster me and put me in one of those tunnels?
Like in many cases, they're going to flat out refuse. They're going to say no.
Of course,
I'm not going to the airport, and I'm not getting on a flight or in.
I'm not
the,
leaving my family and to not be able to take for my family because I have to go play with you guys in a bubble.
In the best, you know, the best players are going to say no. Forget going through the airport. I'm not going even to take a private jet.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it.
And guys like Marcus Smart, he could carry on with his life, then just show up, knock on the bubble that day. Hey, I'm here to play with you guys, but God, I beat it.
They're not going to want to do it. And so,
no,
as a
it.
Fan, you could sit here and you could talk about, would you want to watch games with nobody in the arena? And let's talk about that. Do you want to watch games with no fans in the building? And we'll talk about that, but I think that's sort of missing the point of the real-world implications of these guys aren't going to want to go do it. The players don't want to be there.
You don't have the juice.
We'll pick that up on the other side. College football is considering playing their games in the summer, and also the latest from the NHL and what they're thinking at this moment. We'll do all that coming up after headlines. Here's Hart.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How important, essential, desperate, you pick the adjective here, is it to the NBA to get something out of this season?
The way that the people are talking and behaving, from who I talk to, it sounds like it's going to be really important. And something else, they have a lot of runway here. They're looking into September, and if the NFL season gets delayed, they could even push to October. So there is no stress on them right now. Everyone's focused on getting healthy as a country. But they could wait until May or June to make a decision on this because they really want to get this season in.
Excellent pick, Hardy. Excellent.
Yeah, Hardy.
Thank you.
617-779-0985. That's Brian Windhorst of ESPN talking about the league. That would be the NBA trying to figure out how it is they're going to try and play the rest of their games. I think it's going to be a long time. Long time before we get to that point.
Wow, it really, really looks vacant in studio.
Well, we're not there.
Well, I just saw the shot of it. Poor Hardys are all alone.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah, I think he's enjoying it. I think he's just fine.
He's out of the house.
I think he prefers it this way. All right, so the NBA has more time than other leagues to put it together. Do you want to watch games without fans in the building?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't prefer it, but would you accept it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I would accept
it. In my mind, it would be asterisk doesn't count, you know? I would watch it, but I would maybe tune out or tune in for only good matchups and say, this really doesn't count. This isn't real. Well, are your kids homeschooling? Are they getting the same type of school that they're getting at school?
Mine are.
No. Well, I mean, different. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you need structure. You need stuff. You need to be told what to do. There's certain time allotments for things. You get your rival. You're going to get up for them. You got to play in that building. Oh, shoot. My head, I don't play well in front of their fan base. Oh, there's no fans. Oh, there's
Louth's
no home
kids
court.
Are. You've seen the schedule that Louth has put together for his kids?
Holy it's almost crap. Like they got – it's like Louth's kids are in jail or something. like Providence is evil.
Yeah, it was weird on the Louth family schedule when it said time on the yard. I thought that was odd. That was an odd way of phrasing
it.
Yeah,
like go walk around in that fenced-in area with the barbed wire on top.
Time on the
There's
yard.
A weight bench out there. You could lift weights and maybe pick up rocks.
5 minutes
that you want.
5 minutes for showering once a week.
Right.
Like, yeah, this looks...
You could ask for those little mini pickaxes to polish and shape stones that you collect.
Shave every fourth day. What? What is this? The kids are young. What are you doing?
So, Hardy, yeah, I mean, as far as the games go, I'd watch the games, and I think we'd all be into it because we're so desperate for anything at this point to watch the games without people in the building. But I'm sorry, I just don't think players are going to go for it. In fact, baseball players have already pretty much said they're not going to do it. No.
Yeah.
If there are still large gatherings that are banned, they're not going to play. They're not going to do it.
I think it's going to be tough for either one of those leagues, too. Not baseball, but like basketball or, say, hockey to say we're going to pick it up midsummer.
Like people were pissed at LeBron James when he first said that, right?
I remember that.
And he said, I'm not going to be playing in building. And he sort of laughed it off. Those comments were taken as being much more serious comments than what they actually were.
But that was his reaction. Like,
if you saw the tape of him saying it, it wasn't something he had given a lot of thought. He was sort of like, nah, I'm not doing that. And it wasn't this serious, you know, thought that he had given it. But if you hear that now, does that sound at all out of place for a player to say, no? And it's not so much about, oh, I'm too good for that. I won't play without my fans. It's about, well, if we're at a point in society where we don't want to let fans into the building, why are we in the building?
I felt awkward walking in the building last week and there were no cars in our parking lot. And do I touch that handle or do I put my hand inside my shirt to grab that handle? Imagine being one of those players that show up at the airport. Do we get on this plane or don't we? That's a big germ tube you want me sitting in. Everything that we're going through now as a country, it feels a little awkward. It's almost like gun to your head forced to go and play and then go stay in. Guess what? You got to stay in a hotel. I don't know how they cleaned that hotel. It's a nice hotel. It's got a 5-star rating, but maybe the cleaning people aren't as good as the cleaning people in the other one.
Right.
I mean, all that stuff goes through your head. Then I didn't sleep as well because now I'm stressed
out
about...
How long did they keep the Marriott Long Wharf open after the Biogen?
It's a great question.
Crap.
Which started everything here, right? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you stayed in that hotel after that conference, how are you feeling?
See, that's the thing. And then we talk about the peak of this and looking forward. You know, it's, it went to hit this peak for another 2 weeks and then down after that. Hardy mentions the shedding period and that. Well, when's everything going to be okay? When can we start to go out to a restaurant and eat again? Oh, you know what? May 14th. Really? I might wait till May 20th.
What's oh, and go back 6 days, huh? Wow, yeah. That's big.
No, but I'm serious. Like, we don't know dates. We don't know what the protocol is. We're going to sit here and study China, and we're going to do it the way, like, Wynn Horse is talking about China.
We have not done what China has done, though. We have not done what they did. So right. I don't know that it's a good comp. The NHL, meanwhile, has not ruled out finishing their regular season in the summer. And Bill Daly says, as time has gone on, we've recognized we might have a bigger window than we had originally thought with respect to the summer months. and when we have to finish things to be ready for a full regular season next year. That's Deputy Commissioner Bill Daley said on Friday. They've not ruled out finishing the regular season and Stanley Cup playoffs in full after pausing the season March 12th. I think he sounds delusional.
I do, too.
Is what I think about Bill Daley.
I think hockey doesn't have a real grip on things. I think hockey, of all the sports, it doesn't really have that much of a grip on things.
No, but not only that, they're going to play it all out in the summer months and then have a full regular season next year?
I guess. How'd the Bruins come out of the gate this year?
Buddy, you'll be lucky. You'll be lucky if you play another game, Bill Daley. You'll be lucky, as will the NBA. You'll both be lucky if you play another game as part of this season. If you pick it up much later on, you pick it up much later on, but then you will lose games next season. It feels like some, you know, especially the NHL, is having a hard time coming to grips with the fact you have lost games that you will not be getting back. They still seem to think it's a possibility to save all their games. And I think the NHL has been the worst on this front. And, you know, maybe it's that statement about if and when the six games are canceled by the Bruins that has me thinking that the league is the worst on this front.
You're starting to get the gremlins, what? Beetle.
Uh-oh, no.
Hardy, he's really? Got the gremlins.
No, it was a tiny little one.
Keep talking, Beetle.
I'm here.
Yeah, he's fine.
There he is, yeah.
He's okay. Fine. He's fine.
He's back, yes.
Well, okay. Anyway, I just think that the NHL has been the worst at admitting that they've lost games that they will not get back. That was my point there. If it cut out, I apologize.
And especially,
you're going to have two seasons in one season. It just makes no sense with that league and the way you got to get those guys ready to go.
Well,
go
the only thing more ridiculous, well, I shouldn't say more ridiculous because they are indoors, but the NHL, you know, thinking that they can just have a season in the summer. It's just, no one thinks that the ice is going to be good enough. No one thinks that that is, you know, a viable alternative. I want to say college football in the summer is almost that crazy. It might be. It might be crazier to think that you could do that. Just have
now, what's the exact thing, college football? I think we haven't talked about that yet as to what they want to try.
Yeah,
to
I know we teased it a little bit, but to think that you could just, no, we'll just play games in the summertime. You know, SEC, Louisiana, Alabama. Let's just play those games in July.
A little hot.
Are you out of your mind? You could almost make a case for the NHL playing games in July. And the buildings would be terrible, and the ice conditions would be awful. And we've talked about how during the Stanley Cup Final, they'll bring in different resources to the buildings where the games are being played that would ordinarily be in use at other buildings during a warm weather game to try and keep the humidity down. You're going to try and have like a full college football schedule in the summer? It's not safe. You can't do it. You know, why should everything else? Is that where we're going to say, oh, no. But college football, that has to go on. I mean, I know people feel differently, especially in different parts of the country, than we do here about college football. But if somehow college football ended up being impacted by this, would you care?
No, me personally? No, but I also think for a lot of people, that's their thing. So
yeah, well, a lot of people's thing has been either canceled or postponed, and there are going to be sacrifices and there are going to be things that end up, well, that sucks. But to think that you could just all of a sudden move a football season that's played in the fall into the summer months, I think you're out of your mind.
Yeah, let's talk more about that, Hardy, because I'm fascinated by this idea that they're talking about this, and it sounds completely crazy. You're right. More on that and your calls coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. So and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The president, he's got his cares what it's for. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Half a one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all the way out one bit. God damn it, I'm trying to make it real compared to what suck you to me.
Six 617-779-0985.
Are we in New Orleans?
You mentioned those college football schedules, Hardy. Yeah. And where they play these games in the big conferences. What do you think it's like playing a game in the state of Louisiana?
Oh, God. In July?
Sweaty. In July or August.
Sweaty.
You're gonna forget dying of coronavirus. You're going to die of heat stroke.
Right.
You're going to be losing athletes out there. I just don't think it's going to make much sense, and they're going to find that out very quickly. That's just stupid. A lot of stupid coming out of this, isn't there?
Sure is.
But I don't understand, like, the need for it. Like, why would you push that up? Why would you have it done then so that and this is the one thing I couldn't, like, get a clear understanding of. Who does that benefit?
Why sooner rather than later?
Yes. How does
what you're saying.
How does that benefit anybody?
I think that they believe that they must be full on board with the theory that the heat is going to wipe it out, which I've heard.
And it would avoid the fall resurgence of coronavirus.
Yes. Correct. The second wave, if you will.
They're talking about in the fall potentially having humans to experiment on with the development of a vaccine. So, I'm sure they're right around the corner with that sucker.
I'm sorry, wait on that.
There was a report out there, something in the news, that this fall they want to start testing it on humans, actual volunteers, that as they try and develop a vaccine for this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll wait on that one.
You're not signing up for that study?
No, I mean, I don't know when it's going to end. I really don't.
Would you sign up to see? I'm guessing
depends how much.
I'm guessing that the people who get the vaccine in the trial are then going to have to also be exposed to it on purpose.
Sure, right? Shoot it right in your lungs. Yep.
Isn't that what's going to have to happen?
Yeah.
All right.
Finally got diagnosed with it. People were saying pets can't carry it. Now they're saying pets get it. This sucker's everywhere.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Let's get to some of your calls. Steve in Chelmsford. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, so the interesting thing about when you guys are talking about whether they should play basketball games without fans is it could give us insight into the trash talking they do, and it could actually be a way for them to market it and give us more insight into how the players interact with each other. On the court.
The what? Wait, what was the last part about how they interact with each other on the court?
On the court, yeah.
As a result of no fans?
Like behind the B. Get a little inside show.
Okay. John and Dedham, games without fans. John.
Guys, how you doing? Don't love the scenery in the background.
That's all crooked. I got to fix one of them.
But I just want to talk about if the NBA season is going to be completely kiboshed. I mean, maybe the NBA should do their part, maybe pick players that haven't tested positive for the coronavirus and possibly do a tournament, and then the proceeds go towards, you know, testing for coronavirus, you know, and helping people out with all that. And
so I just an all-star coronavirus type game.
John, yeah. I think it's a good thought. I think it's a positive thought. Some good could come out of something like that. But back to your original problem, which is you can't get players that are going to want to even play regular season or playoff games, meaningful games. They are certainly not going to want to leave their homes and families to play games that don't even count. So I just don't think it's realistic.
These guys barely wanted to even freaking represent their country for the Olympic Games when things were going great. You know, now you're going to tell them, hey, under the conditions that we have, you're going to have to isolate, but we're going to have you go play.
Josh and Haverhill with a thought on the Patriots today. Hi, Josh.
Hey, fellas. I know you're up against it. I just wanted to wish Hardy a happy birthday. Hope you have a great one, brother. You're going to have a nice cake. You like ice cream cake?
You like cake eating, Hardy? You cake eater?
No. We've got my traditional favorite scheduled for later on today.
What is that?
There you go. There you go.
Well, hold on. Whoa. What is that?
I should ask Blondie exactly what's in it. It's a recipe that my mom used to make for me, and now Mars makes it. It's a very simple chocolate pie. It's just like it's got like Cool Whip and chocolate, and it's kind of frozen. It's very.
Oh yeah, my grandmother used to do it all the time. You know what they do? They take the Cool Whip and they mix it with like the Jell-O packets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Jell-O. It might even be like cream cheese or something, but it makes
my grandma used to do it with the strawberry. Like it was like pour it in a graham cracker crust.
And that's it. And Martha thinks it's like the dumbest thing in the world. She says, oh, it's so easy. It's so stupid. I'm like, perfect. I don't know why it's a problem for you. And no one else like really likes it or eats it. But yeah, that's once a year on my birthday. And then
my grandma Zolak used to make that.
Yeah,
it's delicious. It was awesome.
Yeah. So
you deserve the best, Hardy, anyways.
Thank you.
Is Jadeveon Clowney off the table, or do they not have enough money for that? And also, like, without fans, I'm with Zolak. I'd put an asterisk next to games like that.
Yeah, I'd probably stop watching halfway through some of them if it was a bad game. Like, what's the hook here?
No, they did not have a shot at Jadeveon Clowney. They don't have the money for him. Both are true.
What are they, $800,000 under the cap, I think? That's it?
Yeah. Thought it was more than that, but I'll take your word for it. Fine, but they're right up against it. They have no money.
Yeah. I mean, how does a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers all of a sudden like got $13 million in cap space? Or I think the Ravens have $13, $14 million in cap space.
They're going to need to create $177. Space. Yeah. They're going to need to create space to sign their draft picks, I think.
Yeah.
I don't.
Hey, Sanu, you're taking a pay cut. How about that?
I believe that is going to need to happen.
Oh, Beetle. How about that? Another point off what we started the show with from the Super Bowl. Sanu was a little bit of a beast in that game, running some of those, you know, crossing routes underneath, you know, grabbing the ball away from guys. Like, wow, that guy's good.
Y'all down with Tiger King, Hardy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so am I. Let's put the wrap on the Tiger King.
Okay.
From over the weekend. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Turn on a Fairley Brothers movie?
See, I knew you'd like this one, too.
Tell you what, you need, like, one of those birthday playlists. You're sitting around robbing you in a car, man. You're a different cat, man. A little strange.
What? This is a great song.
It is a good song.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand. Happy birthday to Hardy with the birthday playlist today. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We wrapped up on the show over the weekend on Netflix, Tiger King. That was something else, man. That really was. Really opened our eyes to what's going on in the world of big cats.
So there are more big cats, I learned this, in captivity in the U.S. than are in the wild right now.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And that you could actually purchase one of these for a small fee of $3,500.
It's not even that much. The one that he ended up selling for like $2,000 or something. Like, hell, a purebred lab will cost you that much from some places.
Oh, more than that.
Are you kidding me? You can have a tiger?
Tiger, I might put a zoo in my backyard.
There you go.
Give me a baby giraffe, too.
If the producers of Tiger King wanted anything to happen from this, I'm sure it's people like you thinking about, you know what, maybe I should keep tigers, too. They're probably, you know, sitting back and thinking, if we can just get more people to adopt and keep big cats,
right,
then our job here will be done. In addition to telling the story of Joe Exotic and Doc Antle.
I would have to think that at some point the fee of feeding these things, because you see them with the, like, quartered cow. Or just, I get this big hoof in his leg, and I'm dragging it, this big thing of meat across this dirt path. I'm going to throw it in there, and that tiger grabs it, and he's like, oh, he's growling at you. But that's got to cost something.
Well, I had asked over the weekend, Beetle.
Yeah.
After watching it, what's the one question you have as a result of watching it?
And if you, I actually have a real one,
if
too.
You, if you could have one question answered after watching Tiger King, what do you want the answer to? What's the one question you want an answer to?
Oh, God. About someone in the show?
Just something. There are, and again, we, in the reviews of it, they say there's a lot of stuff that goes unanswered. There's a lot of loose ends at the end of this. And some of it's just due to timing, you know. But if you could find out one thing, give me one thing. One thing I just wish I could know. What would it be?
Something I can. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mine would be, when he opened up that pizza place and they had that freezer, that white freezer with all the meat from Walmart in packets just poured in, and they took that meat to put the meat on the pizza, what did that pizza taste like? I bet that pizza was pretty damn good.
It's probably fine. It's cooked.
Probably disgusting.
Yeah, the 500-degree oven for 15 minutes, you're good. Everything's fine with that.
Oh, God.
Somebody said, who was actually singing? Which I thought
we've got that answer.
We have that answer thanks to Vanity Fair. They did a column on that, and they found a couple of people who did the actual vocal recordings that Joe
was it him
lip sync.
No, it wasn't
not,
him.
It was not him. No, Zoe, I thought the same thing. I'm an idiot. Normally, I'm the first one to like say no. I thought, oh, he's got a pretty good voice because I'm stupid, I guess. Everyone else immediately recognized it as being a lip sync job, which
he
it was.
Knew all the words so well. And just... The delivery was there. I'm like, I bought it.
I would say
modern day Randy Jackson here.
I would ask the question, serious question. This is not like something that, you know, you could know, but I want to know, does anyone else end up in jail other than Joe Exotic?
Well, and that remains to be seen. Like, we don't, you would think that
Garrettson,
Jeff Lowe might end up in jail. Garrettson might end up in jail, but it's all pending. All this is relatively recent. I mean, the documentary ended with there was something from like December of 2019 in there.
Yeah.
I can't stand Carol. I know that. I cannot stand Carol.
It also kind of evolved into a conversation about casting the movie that will inevitably be made. And I read one thing that they're actually doing it, and that Amy Poehler? Maybe you would bet. No.
Somebody was Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon
is going to play Carol Baskin. We touched on that on Friday.
Yep. I think Jim Gaffigan should be cast as Doc Antle. I think there's a strong resemblance there, and he's got the right persona.
I know who plays Joe Exotic. Alan Jackson, the country singer. He's already got the hair, the mustache.
You need an actor's actor to play Joe Exotic.
I would just say that if there's one fascinating thing to me, and I think this was covered between like episode 6, by the end of episode 6, you should be saying, how did Alan Glover not end up caught up in this legally? And he apparently, by just telling his story, as he says 3 or 4 times to the authorities, he hasn't been charged.
Which one is Alan Glover?
Glover is the handyman who works for Jeff Lowe. Glover took $3,000 from Joe Exotic to do
crackhead.
A hit on Carol Baskin, and then never went to Florida,
Ended up partying at some strip joint up in North Carolina. He has a teardrop under his eye.
Yeah, and according to the reporting on things, including the reporter who was on with Tutcher and Rich today, Jeff Lowe was a part of that. Jeff Lowe took Alan Glover's cell phone with him to Vegas to make calls from that cell phone to cover up where Alan Glover was.
See, Lowe's not getting enough heat for what went down.
So how does Lowe and Glover not at all, number one, get in trouble for that? And number two, how did they end up being key witnesses against Joe Exotic to put him in jail for 22 years? I've got zero doubt that Joe Exotic is guilty. None. But I also know these other two guys aren't guilty, that they are guilty, that they're not innocent. Which brings me back to my original point. I hate everybody in this thing. They all deserve each other. They're all terrible human beings.
Yes, they all deserve to get eaten.
They all suck.
Yeah, I honestly don't. A lot of people felt like something approaching empathy or sympathy for Joe Exotic at the end of this, because he's in prison for 20 years or whatever it is, and that, you know, the other guys should be in there. That I don't feel bad at all that guy's in prison. I think society is better off with that guy in prison. I truly do. I mean, he was at Travis's funeral when he starts making it all about himself and he's married to someone else 2 months later and all the stuff that he was doing. I mean, and you saw the old footage of him talking about how these animals shouldn't be bred and all this stuff. He sounded more like what's her name at the beginning than what he turned into. And he turned into somebody who didn't care all that much about him, was just breeding him to make money, and he was in it for himself. He was totally in it for himself.
How about that spread he put out for 150 people for Thanksgiving one year?
That was nice.
That looked
okay.
And he's like,
all I could think though was, did this come off the Walmart truck? That's all I could think when I saw that.
All I could think of is, how does he have money for that and new trucks and guns? And these guys are living in squalor who work there, making $100 a week, just like the people at Doc Antle's place. And, you know, living, you know, in poverty. But he's got
the
money
girls
for all
over
this other stuff.
The girls over at Doc Antle's are in love with him.
Yeah, there's that. What about the guys who work there and are not in love with him?
Oh, man. That's a bad scene over there, too.
All right, here's another question I have.
Yeah.
And this is one that we'll probably never have an answer to. But these are the type of questions I mean. Like, what's the one thing you'd really like to... I'd really like to know, was Travis's death purely accidental? Because it's portrayed that way.
Yeah, who the hell were they filming when he blew his head off?
The campaign manager guy.
Oh my God. He just blew his head off.
So you're saying, is the campaign manager lying in that
he
watched Travis get murdered?
Well, you see him watch him, and you see Travis talking about the gun, and the campaign manager's like, I told you, don't ever point a gun at me. And he said, whatever kind of gun it was, I don't know, it's a Luger or something. He goes, it doesn't have a clip in it. It won't fire without a clip. And then presumably he put it to his head and pulled the trigger to show.
No,
see,
but that was at two different times.
Oh, man.
You're confusing two different instances of him having a gun.
So do you think his suicide was on purpose? You think it was?
Yes. The kid committed suicide. He was depressed. He had been kept from speaking to his family by Joe Exotic. That was not covered in the documentary. It's been covered in other places. Yes. Yeah. All no, right. That was the campaign manager was talking about in general. The kid was always walking around with a gun.
Beetle, the fact you've reached out to other resources to learn more about this is more disturbing to me.
Why?
The TV enough, the Netflix documentary is enough for me. I don't want to know more about these people. I really don't. They're disturbing. I'm going to think now when I cross that Florida border, should I ever take my kids to Lion Country Safari? People are going to still do that. People are still going to go to the zoos. I just want to know how you hand-build these cages that you think you could contain that type of beast and nobody could ever break in or he can't get out.
See, Beetle, I'm reading about it right now. I don't think I have them mixed up. The Oklahomian, the newspaper, wrote a story saying that it was, in fact, an act of hubris, not a planned suicide, and that he held the gun up to his head to pull the trigger to show that it was safe and that the gun wouldn't fire.
So he did it by accident?
He did it by accident. But I wonder how much of it was an accident, if he was really suffering from drug addiction, which I assume 90% of the people, at least at Joe Exotic's place. Yeah, someone else asked me, it's like, are there any scenes of them actually doing meth or any scenes of them on meth? I said, yeah, there are scenes of them on meth in episodes 1 through 7. Just turn on at any point in the documentary, any point in episodes 1 through 7, and if they're at Joe Exotic's place, you will see people under the influence of methamphetamine.
Who was
That's every episode.
Who was the guy that worked there that had the long, long blonde hair and he had a mustache and a beard? He's sitting at the edge of his bed.
Oh,
he's doing the interview.
He's nodding out at the end of it?
And then all of a sudden he just falls back and passes out. His hands are clenched like he got knocked out.
I think
like the fetal position.
I think he graduated to the big H by the end of the documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up from bathtub crank. Yeah.
And there was a bottle of half a bottle of vodka next to his bed on the
all right.
Nightstand.
Calls on Joe Exotic and calls on the Tiger King. We wrapped that up over the weekend. And Hardy's asking the question, if you had one question that you could have answered about the people and things that happened in that documentary, what would it be? So that's in the mix. Also, Derek in Foxborough is on the line. And we will talk
nice
to the man, the myth, the legend, Derek in Foxborough, coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.